It is now time for a word from the Lord from one of God's anointed messengers, Pastor Darlene Moore.
Good morning, and God bless you all. Again, I want to give honor to God and thank God for the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus radio broadcast and Brother Mel. This is such an awesome opportunity. I am here this morning to give a word from the Lord, and I'm so excited, and I hope that you all are ready to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This morning, I want to talk about Proverbs 18 verses 20 through 21. And the word of the Lord says, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. You may have heard it this way from the King James, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I want to speak this morning from this thought, the power of confession. What you say matters. My goal is to give you three things. First, I want to provide an awareness. Second, an insight. And third, revelation as to how the power of confession affects our lives. Another goal I want to teach are some principles that both you and I can apply right now to change our current condition. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Jesus, who is our champion, in the book of Matthew chapter 15, he confronts the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and after being told about his disciples disobeying their tradition, Jesus confronts them about their tradition and their man-made ways of doing things. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had blamed the disciples that they did not wash their hands before they ate. Jesus was very plain and very clear, and he makes a very profound statement. And he tells the crowd, listen to what I say and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You're defiled by what you say and do. In that text, the context is referring to the heart condition of man. But Jesus was also giving the church a revelation about the importance of words. Today, I want to speak from the thought of power of confession, or the law of confession. In the earth, there are two sets of laws. There are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. Natural laws we know of, Newton's law of gravity. What goes up must come down. Then there's also spiritual laws. One of the most basic and fundamental laws that governs the universe and determines your destiny is the law of confession. There is power in your confession. Your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, your health, your finance, your relationships, your marriage, your job, your career, your promotion, even your ministry, anything that you need God to affect, perform, or make better, it's not going to happen until you speak it into existence. I wish I could hear an amen. Amen. Spiritual laws govern the spiritual realm, but they also have control over the natural laws because everything in the natural world came from the spirit world. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was governed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. John 4:24 says, for God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. If we go over to the book of Genesis, also known as the book of beginnings, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God upholds, he maintains, he guides, and he propels the universe by his mighty word of power. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. My question is this, what kind of fruit are your words producing? For according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Your words shape your world. This is why the devil brings about seeds of doubt, to cause the believer to doubt God's word. And he hopes that we not only doubt God's word, but that we speak our doubt out loud. Even the devil knows there is power in words, especially God's word. Words can bring about unity or disharmony. Words can bring about blessing or cursing. Words can bring about life or death. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Words are powerful, my brothers and sisters. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 says, "Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces." Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Confession is an important word that all believers need to understand. Confession in the original text in the Greek is homologeo. Homo meaning the same, logeo meaning the word. When you look at it all, it comes to agreement. So in the scripture, there are four types of confession. Number one, there's a confession of sin by a sinner out of Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Secondly, there's confession of a sinner acknowledging the lordship of Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Then there's confession by the believer when he or she is out of fellowship with the Lord due to disobedience. In other words, you might have heard it stated, missing the mark. 1 John verse 1 and 9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Fourthly, there's a confession that all believers ought to be operating in, and that's the confession of God's will and word in faith. Amos 3, verse 3 in the King James Version says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Do you not know that you're walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when you've accepted him into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Therefore, you're walking with him in agreement. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Numbers 23, verse 19 says that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I am a living witness that I know God. There is no fault in him and no failure. Finally, out of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." That right there is something to be glad about, because number one, we have confidence in anything we ask according to his will, because number one, he hears us. So that tells me that when he hears us, we have to be saying something to him. And what we're saying to him must be lining up with the word of God. In other words, God isn't the problem because of our current circumstance or situation. Our mouth is the problem, because out of our mouth comes our words, and out of our words gives God or Satan permission to act in our life. Your mouth is a doorway and your tongue is the key to unlock the door. Your words can destroy your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, your health, your finance, your relationships, your marriage, your job, your career, your promotion. It can even destroy your ministry. Our words are powerful because it was by God's word that we were created and brought into existence. And by Him, we were made in His image and in His likeness. So that tells me that we are like our Father. And if His words are powerful, then that tells me that our words also hold weight. The word of God is a seed. According to Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. What have you planted in your garden? What kind of seeds are you planting in your life? And what kind of fruit is coming forth from that which has been planted?" 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, out of the New Living Translation says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a harvest, a great harvest of generosity in you." Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says, "Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Saints of God, it's so important that we not give up through our trial and through our adversity. But by your confession of faith, you will see the great harvest that only God can bring forth. The world has programmed us so to speak things what we see, to speak things by what we feel. In other words, the world has programmed us to operate out of our senses. But that's not faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen." Gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. As born again believers, we become regenerated and renewed in our spirit man, but our soul man, our mind, our will, emotions, and our intellect must be renewed. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes." Renewing your mind means you have utilized new information given by God by way of His word. And when you utilize His word, your words must now line up with the word of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children." Finally, I want to share with you that when you begin to line up your words and your confession of faith with the word of God, pressure will come. Pressure comes by doubt, unbelief, and fear. And all three frustrate our purpose in the earth and our purpose in God. So what do you do when the pressure comes? Number one, put the word of God in your heart daily. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it, chew on it, just constantly gnaw on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do." Thirdly, stay in the attitude of prayer. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit." 2 Thessalonians says, "Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing." Thirdly, speak what God says repeatedly in faith. Romans 4, verse 20 through 21. Father Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully, and I have been transformed. He has been transformed and fully persuaded by faith that what God said will come to pass would come to pass. I want to leave this with you, my brothers and sisters, and I want to encourage you to begin paying attention by what comes out of your mouth. There is power in your confession. There is power which you speak over your children, over your husband, over your wife, over your money. Life and death is in your tongue. The scripture says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.